Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. It's just me today, and I'm doing this episode solo without Arjun, and I'm actually really excited about it. And I wanted to take some time to dive deep into certain topics that I feel that don't get enough attention in areas of health and healing that often gets overlooked or misunderstood. And as you all know, many of us are walking around dealing with these health conditions with fatigue, stress, and chronic symptoms, and that feeling that, you know, something is just not quite right. And we keep searching for answers, sometimes in all the wrong places. And my intention with these solo episodes is to help you explore those other possibilities and bring some awareness, consciousness, and maybe a little aha moment to see your body and your health from a different lens. Because sometimes the things we've missed or dismissed might actually be the key to unlocking real lasting wellness. So let's begin with today's episode. It's all about feeling tired all the time, how Epstein-Barr virus could be draining your energy. So when we talk about long-term fatigue, like even if you've slept for more than 10 hours, you don't feel rested and you've got to take naps during the day just to feel that you can function a little bit, or maybe with some immune system dysregulation like having a sore throat or a chronic low-grade fever, or maybe some kind of thyroid imbalance wherein you've got a swollen gland, or maybe you are gaining weight, your metabolism is really slow. So when these topics arise, many a times in the functional and health circles, Epstein-Barr virus could be one of the contributing factors that could be triggering this issue. Now we've got to know that Epstein-Barr virus is a very common virus. In fact, around 90 to 95% of adults worldwide have been exposed to it at some point, usually in childhood or adolescence. Now, it's the same virus that causes mononucleosis. Sometimes it's also called the kissing disease. Now, what's interesting is that after the initial infection, EBV doesn't fully leave the body. It tends to go dormant and hiding quietly inside certain immune cells, especially B lymphocytes, if you've got to know what type of immune cells I'm talking about. Now, for most people, this isn't an issue. But the immune system, if it's working well, if it's healthy, it's resilient, so it's able to keep the virus down under control, basically. But under certain circumstances, conditions like chronic stress, nutrient depletion, hormonal imbalance, toxic load, or even emotional burnout, this virus can reactivate at a low level. And that's when I think things get a little bit more complicated. Now, with Epstein-Barr virus, there has been some research and clinical observations suggest that in some people, a reactivated Epstein-Barr infection may influence the thyroid function, particularly in autoimmune thyroid conditions like Hashimoto's thyroiditis or Graves' disease. Now, EBV has been found in thyroid tissues samples in some studies, suggesting that it might act as a chronic irritant to the immune system, right? So now when the immune system tries to attack this virus, it's hiding inside the thyroid cells, it can accidentally begin to target those thyroid cells. This is a process which is called molecular mimicry. Now, from a functional medicine perspective, this sets off a cycle of inflammation where the immune system is overactive but it's misdirected, leading to symptoms like fatigue, hormonal imbalance, and gradual thyroid dysfunction. Another factor that actually comes into picture with EBV is, as I just mentioned, which is fatigue, so chronic fatigue syndrome. And many people with this chronic fatigue actually describe a history of viral illness that never fully resolved, often mono mononucleosis, or they have flu-like symptoms, or recurring sore throats, or and even swollen glands. Now, according to functional medicine, if we look at this through the lens of post-viral immune exhaustion, so where the body is constantly trying to suppress a lingering viral load, and over time, it can actually deplete cellular energy, which is your mitochondrial function, and it can disrupt adrenal rhythms, like circadian rhythm, and lead to the classic fatigue syndrome that doesn't really improve with rest. Now, it's not EBV that's the only cause of chronic fatigue syndrome or thyroiditis, but it's rather a trigger or like contributing factor in a larger picture that includes nutrient deficiencies, gut imbalance, chronic stress or trauma, even genetic susceptibility, environmental toxic overload, right? So just to bring to light, I thought that it would be amazing to actually discuss two case studies in front of y'all from two different practitioners and how they have managed to bring this virus under control by actually regulating the immune system, bringing it into balance, along with other things which we will see as we discuss further along. So the first one, I want to discuss a case where we can see the interconnection between the gut, the endocrine, the immune system, lymphatic system, and the nervous system. So basically almost all the systems in the body. Now this is a case where a 43-year-old woman who came to my professor, she was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and she was exhausted all the time. She was losing her hair, she was feeling cold, and despite sleeping for 10 hours a night, she'd wake up feeling like she hadn't slept at all. And her blood pressure was low, her pulse was low, her energy was non-existent, and she was struggling to function day to day. Now, of course, she was taking a T4-only thyroid medication, which is Synthroid. But her labs showed what we'd call a subclinical hypothyroidism, meaning that even though she was on medication, her body was still not getting enough of the active thyroid hormone to do the various functions in the body. Her TSH was, of course, elevated. Her free T4 and T3 were really low. And her antibodies, which is TPO antibodies, they were really high, which is a marker of autoimmunity. And therefore, despite being on treatment, her brain was still signaling distress, asking for more thyroid activity. And it's like her metabolism was stuck in slow motion. Now, when my professor looked deeper into her antibodies for Epstein-Barr virus, they were definitely high, which means that the virus was either reactivated or there was a chronic viral load all along. And she also had heavy metals, lead and mercury, which she got tested as well. She got a stool test done, which showed candida overgrowth in her gut. So that's where I feel the story starts to unfold itself. Now, Epstein-Barr virus, which almost all of us carry, loves to hide out, as I told you all before, in the thyroid tissue. But when your immune system is under strain from toxins, stress, poor sleep, gut dysbiosis, this virus can reactivate. And when it does, it creates that ongoing inflammation that drives up those TPO antibodies, leading the body to mistakenly attack its own thyroid cells. Meanwhile, her candida overgrowth was adding to the inflammatory burden and contributing to nutrient malabsorption, especially vitamin D, A, and zinc, which are actually crucial for thyroid conversion and immune regulation. Now, her ferritin levels were high, which might look good on paper, But actually, it was a sign that her body was sequestering iron. So basically, it's pulling out iron out of the circulation and keeping it as a reserve because it's sensing that there is some chronic infection. And these infections actually feed on iron to keep themselves alive and thrive. And then she also got her Dutch test done, and which actually showed that she had flat line cortisol pattern. So that's the hallmark for adrenal burnout or advanced hypoadrenal function. So you see that thyroid and adrenals, they are like dance partners, always working together in this hormonal soup. So when the thyroid slows down, the adrenals try to compensate. But over time, even they become over-depleted. Now with low cortisol, the body can't mount a proper energy repair or immune defense response. So it's a classic recipe for chronic fatigue. So what looks like actually Hashimoto's was really a multi-layered story of infection, toxicity, hormonal exhaustion, and gut imbalance, all feeding into one another. So she was recommended to increase her thyroid medication with the help of an endo to support her whole system by switching her to a more natural thyroid extract, which actually contained both T4 and T3 to better mimic the body's natural hormones. She also used adrenal glandulars and adaptogens, which are boosting and helping her to increase her energy so that she can regain that energy and that cortisol balance. She also supported her immune system with cat's claw and lemon balm. These are antivirals that actually help to calm the Epstein-Barr virus. But apart from that, she also focused on building her nutrition by filling the gaps, nutrient deficiencies, for example, vitamin D, A, and zinc that we talked about before. And she was on 4 to 5 cups of coffee a day, completely removing that, and conversely using green tea to support her liver detox gently and avoid overstimulating her adrenals. And she also added in coconut oil and sea salt with meals to support energy and mineral balance. Plus, she was encouraged daily sunlight and gentle movements like restorative yoga and lunchtime walks. So every day, half an hour to 1 hour walks she needs to do to keep her metabolism going. And I feel like movement is celebration any which ways, because if we don't move, we are already a bit more sluggish, so we feel that feeling a lot more. Over time, of course, I wouldn't say that it just happened like within 1 week, but it definitely took time. Like it took months, 6 to 8 months, but finally her sleep improved. Her energy began to stabilize. Her hair started to grow back. And that heavy fog, brain fog that she was dealing with, even that began to lift. Because here we are not just chasing numbers, we are actually rebuilding the terrain, right? So when the adrenals, thyroid, liver, and gut, they start working in that harmony again, the immune system naturally starts settling down. And the virus quiets down, inflammation eases, energy returns, not as a burst, but as a steady flame. And that's what we want. I also want to bring to light, actually, another case with a slightly different symptom picture, so that you all know that how practitioners curate a protocol for a particular person according to their particular circumstances. This story is about a 40-year-old woman whose health journey perfectly illustrates how Epstein-Barr virus, immune dysfunction, and lifestyle factors can come together to create chronic fatigue and persistent illness. So she was experiencing sore throat, cough, painful and swollen lymph nodes, and a significant loss of voice. She had this also dull, intermittent headache, plus extreme fatigue, exhaustion, She felt like she could never get enough energy. Her history, in fact, also included a diagnosis of mononucleosis and recurring childhood tonsil issues and a diet that was full of junk food, coffee, and irregular sleep due to shift work. Now, she exercised regularly, maintained a positive attitude, and had a supportive family life. But despite all of this, her energy was depleted. The medical tests confirmed positive Epstein-Barr virus antibodies, which again, as you all know, which signals it's either a lingering or a reactivated infection. Now, this virus, which most of us carry in some form, as I told you all before, it can stay dormant, but it can reactivate under circumstances where the immune system is not able to take the load or the stress anymore. And in her case, EBV was actually creating this ongoing lymphatic inflammation, causing her swollen glands, throat, and fatigue as classic chronic fatigue symptoms. Plus, it was also identified that she was having nutritional deficiencies of B vitamins, magnesium, iron, calcium, which was actually making it much more harder for the immune system to fight this infection. So coupled with stress, caffeine overuse, and irregular sleep, her body's core energy and resilience were really low. Now, the holistic approach that was taken by this practitioner was to actually focus more on her acute symptoms because she really needed that at the moment. Something like OSHA, echinacea, red root, boneset, and ginger were chosen for her particular type of fatigue syndrome because these herbs actually help with immune system support. They're diaphoretic, not all of them, one or two of them. They're antiviral, which will help with Epstein-Barr virus to calm it down. And they were also stimulant, liver stimulant as well, and lymphatic enhancing because of the swollen glands. And therefore, these particular herbs were chosen in that regard. Now, nutritional support, as I told you, was given to her with multivitamin, magnesium, calcium, fish oil, vitamin C to help rebuild her depleted reserves. And apart from that, she was also recommended to increase her water intake, reduce caffeine gradually, even have balanced meals and attention to more nutrient-dense foods and avoid over-exercising. Because when you over-exercise, you actually can depress your immune system. And she was having this acute illness with sore throat and also low-grade fever. So it was recommended to just do gentle walks and restorative yoga. And also prioritize rest and naps to allow for more recovery. Of course, as a long-term support, she was recommended for hydrotherapy, aromatherapy, and restorative baths using lavender, rosemary, sage, and Epsom salt, which actually provided her a lot of relaxation, eased her tension, as salt also draws out a lot of toxins, and it helps in supporting the lymphatic function. So the outcome with that one was that within 1 week, her lymph nodes reduced to 1/3 of their previous size. And after continued care and compliance with diet, supplements, and tincture, her energy actually improved. She became more aware of her healthier dietary choices. And more importantly, her acute symptoms resolved completely, which was sore throat, chronic low-grade fever, and swollen lymph nodes. She was actually able to resume her life without that constant fatigue and discomfort. So my closing thoughts with all of this is that Epstein-Barr virus can actually stay dormant for years, but when your immune system is compromised, it gets reactivated, right? We can have chronic fatigue, sore throats, headaches, swollen lymph nodes. But with this case, what was really looked at was supporting the immune system, looking at nutrition, supporting the lymphatic function, and lifestyle factors that dramatically improve her recovery. So basically, chronic fatigue, or if your energy is drained, it's not just about it being tired, but it's whispering you, sometimes it's shouting at you that I am overwhelmed, right? And it's not like your body is lazy or it lacks that willpower. It's just that it's crying out for that balance, restoration, and nourishment. And as these cases, they show us that once we begin to work with the body, not against it, even deep exhaustion can give way to vitality again. And I hope that all of y'all got a lot of value from what I've shared. And it really helps someone in their wellness journey to find out the root causes. And definitely you will be able to see some significant improvement in your health when you know what you've been dealing with. So that's it, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure doing this one. Stay happy, be happy, and bid you all goodbye.